ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, verses 27 and 28. So we're going to do 28, which 27, I'll just read by myself. And 27 has a very short purport, and 28 has a really long purport. So we're going to maybe take turns reading the purport. 27. Rishayo manavo deva,
Rishayo manavo deva,
Manoputra mahojasa kalas,
let
us read this one together.
Kalasasare hare deva, Sapana japakayasita.
Translation: all the rishis, manus, demigods, and descendants of Manu, who are especially powerful, are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. This also includes the Prajapatis. Purport: those who are comparatively less powerful are called Vibhuti, and those who are comparatively more powerful are called Avesha incarnations. Text 28. This is actually a very famous verse, and according to Jiva Goswami and other Acharyas, this is the most important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll do word for word. Ete,
ete,
all these,
all these,
cha,
cha,
and amsa,
amsa,
plenary portions,
plenary portions,
kalaha,
kalaha,
portions of the plenary portions,
portions of the plenary portions,
umsaha,
umsaha,
of the supreme,
of the supreme,
Krishna,
Krishna,
Lord Krishna,
Lord Krishna,
to,
but,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead,
the personality of Godhead,
Swayam,
Swayam,
in person,
in person,
Indra Ari,
Indra Ari,
the enemies of Indra,
the enemies of Indra,
Vyakulam,
Vyakulam,
disturbed,
disturbed,
Lokam,
Lokam,
all the planets,
all the planets,
Mridayanti,
Mridayanti,
gives protection,
gives protection,
Yuge, Yuge,
Yuge, Yuge,
in different ages,
in different ages,
Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa,
Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa,
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam,
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam,
Indrari Vyakulam Lokam,
Indrari Vyakulam Lokam,
Mridayanti Yuge Yuge,
Mridayanti Yuge Yuge,
Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa,
Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa,
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam,
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam,
Indrari Vyakulam Lokam,
Indrari Vyakulam Lokam,
Vidayanti Yuge Yuge,
Vidayanti Yuge Yuge.
Please chant.
Ete Cham Sakala Pumsa,
Ete Cham Sakala Pumsa,
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam,
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam,
Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa,
Krishnastu Stu Bhagavan Swayam.
Indrari Vyakalokam.
Indrari Vyakalokam.
Jayanti Yuge Yuge.
Jayanti Yuge Yuge.
Ete Chamsa Kalat Pugsa.
Ete Chamsa Kalat Pugsa.
Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam.
Krishna Stu Bhagavan.
Personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Hare Krishna. Vamsa Kalpataru Gastha Kripa Sindhu Deva Patita Nam Pavane Vrishi Shiva Shandhya Namunamaha. So I'm going to comment on the first verse for a minute, and then we're going to read the purport. And what I was thinking was, since it's a very long purport, we'll have to take turns. Hare Krishna?
They want to hear clear.
Okay. What's in my face? Mother Ragatmika, do you have that? You have the... Can you take the mic?
Yeah, we have
it. You have the mic. Okay, so for the first verse, actually the first is the 20, verse 27 and 28, as you see, almost the same words are being said, plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. And in verse 27, it's mentioned that the Prajapatis are, I'm sorry, I can't really even talk. The Prajapatis are included in that they are also incarnations of the Lord, and the Manus are incarnations of the Lord. So, who are, like, what is the name, meaning of the word Prajapati? Can anybody say? Praja and Pati.
The Praja means, Prabhupada says Praja means Prakrista Rupena Jayate. Anything born in the nation, they are called Praja.
Right.
And Pati means one who maintains, nourishes those, and protects.
Thank you, Prabhu. That was very elaborate. Yes, so Praja, actually, like in today's language, if you are in India or people who are speaking Hindi, Praja is like your subject of a particular country. So we are Praja of United States of America right now. So Prajapati. So in the beginning, there was only one Prajapati, which was Lord Brahma. And then he populated, his job was to populate the universe. And we know that some of his sons were totally not interested. The Kumaras were not interested. It made Brahma really angry, and he actually because of his anger, then Rudra was produced. So, Prabhupada, in his class on this particular verse, he actually mentions that Darwin, who thinks, according to him, you know, life came from chemicals or from stone, he said it is so much rational theory. It's a rational theory that we must take instruction from the scriptures and we must see. So, how can inanimate object creates an animate living being. So, and it's all here in our scriptures. And also, and you know, from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, you know, he's talking about the Manus, that he first gave the instruction to the sun god, who gave to Vivaswan and Vivaswan. And we know that this is the age of the Vaishvata Manu. And I think in one of my previous classes, I remember we were talking about the Manus again. How many Manus are there? Like in one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. So we calculate, in 1 month, there is 420, and in 1 year, there's 5,000. So in the whole lifetime of Brahma, which is considered 100 years, 500,000 Manus are appearing, and all of them are actually plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord Sri Krishna, and that mankind is actually named after the Manus, Manushya, coming from the Manus, and in English we have taken up that word. So I would like to know the origin. What would they say in the English language? What's the origin of the word man? Because according to Srila Prabhupada, man comes from the word Manu, from the Bhagavatam or from the our scriptures. So another thing that Prabhupada mentioned was that in any respectable family, when you are in the Brahmin, Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, one has to know 7 generations before who is in your, like, you know, you need to know who are the 7 generations before you, and that when there would be a marriage, which would be arranged between the two parties, the bride and the groom, they would look back 7 generations, and if there was any time that there was Prabhupada says the word collide, but if any of the there was anything which was, there was interaction, that means the two parties will not, the bride and the groom will not get married. They have to look for somebody else, some other match, because otherwise it means you're getting married to your brother or sister, because you're actually linked, genetically you're linked. Now we know that it's genetically linked. So it was very, they really kept things very, what we can say, pure in that sense that, like I know that, in India at least, I know that in the Muslims, they can even marry their own sister's daughter, which is like, because that is, and we know that that kind, science shows that they could actually lead to many genetic defects. And our scriptures are so, like so much looking to see that there is no interaction for 7 generations, so that there is no reason for any of these genetic defects to occur. And they must know about it, that's why they made that restriction. And so over here it says in the source, it says, Manu Putra Maho Jasa. So, Maho Jasa, very powerful, all the descendants of Manu. So these, all of these Prajapatis, they are directly expanding from Lord Brahma, which means from Lord Krishna, and Kala Sarve Hare Eva. And actually the same word is also there in verse 28, Kalaha. Kalaha means portion of the plenary portion. So, but we know originally everybody is coming from Krishna. So that's the purport of this verse. And then the next verse, it's explained much more elaborately that all of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portion or portion of the plenary portion, but Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So I actually heard a class of Srila Prabhupada on this verse, and Prabhupada is mainly just talking about the second part. There's two parts of this verse. First of all, he's talking about the incarnations, and Krishna is the original personality. And the second part says, all of them appear on planets whenever there's a disturbance created by the atheists, the Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So in that class, Srila Prabhupada was only talking about the second part. How Krishna appears to protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. But in today's purport, the whole almost 3-page purport, Prabhupada is talking only about the first part. So let's just dive into it. In this particular stanza, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is distinguished from other incarnations. He is counted amongst the avatars, incarnations, because out of his causeless mercy, the Lord descends from his transcendental abode. Avatar means one who descends. All the incarnations of the Lord, including the Lord himself, descend on the different planets of the material world, as also in different species of life, to fulfill particular missions. So we know that in verse 19, or was it verse 23, that it was mentioned that Krishna and Balaram are also incarnations, 19 and 23. But there also Srila Prabhupada points out that Krishna is actually the avatari, or the origin of all of the avatars. So sometimes he comes himself, and sometimes his different plenary portions, or parts of the plenary portions, or his differentiated portions, directly or indirectly, empowered by him, descend on this material world to execute certain specific functions. So we actually have heard in the last few, many days, about all of the different incarnations. How many? 22 incarnations are mentioned in the last few verses. And here Srila Prabhupada very nicely delineates how some of the incarnations are for each of Krishna's opulences. So we'll hear that. So originally, the Lord is full of all opulences, all prowess, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. When they are partly manifested through the plenary portions or parts of the plenary portion, it should be noted that certain manifestations of his different powers are required for those particular functions. When in the room, small electric bulbs are displayed, it does not mean that the electric powerhouse is limited by the small bulbs. The same powerhouse can supply power to operate large-scale industrial dynamos with greater volts. Similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers because so much power is needed at that particular time. And I think we have heard of that, like time, place and circumstance. So the Lord appears, like when he appeared in the form of Lord Buddha, people were killing animals so much, unrestrictedly killing animals, that he appeared and he said, okay, reject the Vedas, let's just deal with animal killing. Don't kill animals and surrender unto me. It's not that the Lord's power is diminished, just like Prabhupada says. There's a powerhouse, it's supplying power, and you have at night time we have this 5-watt bulb in our nightlight. Doesn't mean the powerhouse can give only so much power. The powerhouse can give so much power, but we can at that point we only need that much light, so we are able to tone it down, and we only have 5-watt of power coming into the room. So similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers because so much power is needed at that particular time. Mother Ragatni, can you read the next paragraph? For example,
how do you turn it on?
It should be on.
For example, Lord Parashuram and Lord Nrsimha displayed unusual opulence by killing the disobedient Kshatriyas 21 times and killing the greatly powerful atheist Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that even the demigods in other planets would tremble simply by the unfavorable raising of his eyebrow. The demigods in the higher level of material existence many, many times excel the most well-to-do human beings in longevity, beauty, wealth, paraphernalia, and other respects. Still, they are afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Thus, we can simply imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu was in this material world. But even Hiranyakashipu was cut into small pieces by the nails of Lord Nrsimha. This means that anyone materially powerful cannot stand the strength of the Lord's nails. Similarly, Jamadagni, displayed the Lord's power to kill all the disobedient kings powerfully situated in their respective states. The Lord's empowered incarnation Narada and plenary incarnation Varaha, as well as indirectly empowered Lord Buddha, created faith in the mass of people. The incarnations of Ram and Dhanvantari displayed his fame, and Balaram, Mohini, and Vamana exhibited his beauty. Dattatreya, Matsya, Kumara, and Kapila exhibited his transcendental knowledge. Nara and Narayan Rishi exhibited his renunciation. So all the different indirectly or directly empowered incarnations of the Lord manifested different features. But Lord Krishna, the primeval Lord, exhibited the complete features of Godhead, and thus it is confirmed that he is the source of all other incarnations. And the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Sri Krishna was his internal energetic manifestation of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss, and knowledge, although these are manifested apparently as sex love. The specific attraction of his pastimes with the gopis should never be misunderstood. The Bhagavatam relates these transcendental pastimes in the 10th canto. And in order to reach the position to understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, the Bhagavatam promotes the student gradually in 9 other cantos.
Thank you, Mother. So this is a very important point that Srila Prabhupada makes again and again, that one should not jump directly to the 10th canto, because many times we see that, you know, the professional readers, especially in India and in Vrindavan, they will just focus on the 10th canto and maybe the just the rasa dance. But as we see, we are here in the first canto and we are talking about Krishna's opulence, Krishna's powers, how Krishna is, like, you know, establishing Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we go on and we see different pastimes, that will make us understand not to take these, the Lord's very, very, those very, those pastimes with the gopis, to take them cheaply or to take them in a very material way. So I'll just do a little quiz right now. We just read about, another Ragatmika just read about the different incarnations and how they are specifically empowered for different features of the Lord, you know, the six opulences that we have. So what were Narada and Varaha, what were they doing?
Inspiring, was that the word?
Inspiring.
Faith.
They were creating faith in the mass of people, yes. Actually, I was wondering, how did Lord Varaha create faith in the mass of people? If anybody knows, I was actually not sure. But Prabhupada says, Narada and Varaha, as well as Lord Buddha, manifested this feature of creating faith in the mass of people. I know Narada Muni is always going and preaching and, you know, getting people to get out of their status quo, and, you know, like the Mrigrari is 100, he's like, okay, stop killing. Lord Buddha, of course, we know how he created faith in the mass of people. How did Lord Varaha do? Does anybody know? But we know that he rescued the earth.
Yeah.
So, by Pranamutu, do you have anything to add to this?
What I remember from Prabhupada's Thakur in the third canto, that when Varahadev was doing his job of lifting up Mother Earth, but point is.
When Varahadev was lifting the earth,
the Hiranyaksha, he was watching, and Hiranyaksha actually using bad words. Hey, animal. Hey, dirty animal. You don't listen. This is my property. I put it there. What right do you have? And he's going on and on. Varaha did not pay any attention. One point, Prabhupada made it very nice in the purport that Hiranyaksha says, I guess I heard if you are Supreme Lord, that you don't care for your devotee either. Because if you care for the devotee, then you pay attention to me also.
Mm.
that was the turning point that Baladev actually looked at him with a laser red beam, and then he angrily started the fight. That Krishna will not tolerate if you blaspheme a devotee or you challenge his love for his devotee. I don't know how Hiranyaksha got that, but it made him agitated.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji. So, Lord Ram, Devabhuja answered. So who manifested the feature of his beauty? Which of the incarnations manifested the feature of his beauty?
Vamana.
Mohini.
Balaram.
And she already said Vamana.
Balaram.
You all are listening. Thank you. Oh, it's right here? No, it's not shown. Okay. Which incarnation featured the, don't show, featured his fame? Which of the incarnations? Three of them were mentioned. But two of them.
Dhanvantari.
And I gave away the second one. Lord Ram. Yes, Lord Ram and Dhanvantari. And then knowledge. Transcendental knowledge. There were four of them were mentioned. Lord Kapila. Dattatreya. Lord Dattatreya.
The four Kumaras.
And one more. He actually rescued all of the Vedas.
Matsya,
Jai. Thank you. Dattatreya, Matsya, Kumar, and Kapila. And then one incarnation was mentioned who manifests renunciation.
Narayana
Rishi. Hare Bol. Thank you. So, according to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, which he has dealt with in terms of, I printed out, and I think some of the words are different. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation. All the symptoms of the Supreme Truth in full are present in the person of Lord Sri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater than him or equal to himself. In this stanza, the word Swayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source than himself. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Although in other places the incarnations are described as Bhagavan, because of their specific functions, nowhere they are declared to be the Supreme Personality. In this stanza, the word Swayam signifies the supremacy as the summum bonum. One thing I'm noting, Prabhupada is mentioning it as stanza, because later on he started calling them verses, right? But he was calling them stanza when he first wrote. And then I would say that this was when he was writing it in the early 60s when he was writing. So there are two points which I wanted to mention in this verse. One of them is Prabhupada says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord declares that there is no truth greater than or equal to himself. Does anybody, any verse come to your mind in which Bhagavad Gita Krishna says? Hare Krishna, thank you. What's the name, Prabhuji? Jagannath Kirtan. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was a verse which I came across too. Matta paratran nanya kinchidasti dhananjaya mayi sarvam idam potam sutre mani gana iva. And the meaning?
All the truths are strong like pearls on a thread, and there is nothing
to like pearls on a thread. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So Krishna says that the absolute truth is a person, that he is the supreme absolute truth, and also like in the Brahma Samhita is Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Another term is Samam Bonam, and we have heard it. I've heard it all the time. So I thought I should look up and see what is the origin of the word Samam Bonam. If anybody knows, maybe they can share. If you know what's the origin of the word summum bonum? It's Latin. Yes, it is Latin. And Prabhuji? The summum. I thought it was a Sanskrit word. All this time I thought it was a Sanskrit word. It is Latin expression meaning the highest good. It was introduced by the Roman philosopher Cicero to correspond to the idea of the good in ancient Greek philosophy. The summum bonum is generally thought of as being an end in itself and at the same time containing all other goods. That's summum bonum. I'll read this part. The summum bonum Krishna is one without a second. He himself has expanded himself in various parts, portions, and particles as Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakash, Tad Ekatma, Prabhav, Vaibhav, Vilas, Avatar, Avesha, and Jivas, all provided with innumerable energies just suitable to their respective persons and personalities. Learned scholars in transcendental subjects have carefully analyzed the summum bonum Krishna to have 64 principal attributes. Before we go to those attributes, so we know the first expansion is actually Balaram, and he's actually called Prakash. Which, of course, all of these are described in the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. And the next expansion of Balaram is Sankarshan, and then we have Vasudev, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, like that. So those are the divisions Prabhupada says are Prabhav and Vaibhav. So from all these previous verses which we have learned that Krishna in that way has thousands and thousands of expansions that we just read, 500,000 in a year of Lord, I mean in the lifetime of Lord Brahma. So thousands of expansions are coming, and we are also expansions of Krishna, but we are separated expansions. So the jivas are separated expansions. And Srila Prabhupada, actually in the class which he gave on the previous verse 27, he's describing this. So swamsa vibhinamsa. So swamsa, so very nicely described, which, so like I have this hand, it's part of me, part and parcel of my body. But on my hand, there are many hair. Also, there are many hair on my head. So we can take away those hair and be okay. But if you cut my head, you know, I'm dead. But if I cut my hair, it's all right. I will still survive. So they are. So the hair is separated. It's like separated portion of my body. It's not, it's like, it's part and parcel. Hand is part and parcel of my body. Hair is separated expansion of my body. So I can separate it, this will be okay. So these expansions, swamsa, personal expansion, and separated expansions, so the personal expansions are called Vishnu Tattva. So in the case of Lord, when we see the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya, his personal expansion is Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu, so they are both Vishnu Tattvas. Gadadhar Pandit is his internal energy, and we can call him Shakti Tattva. And Srivas, Adi means all of the devotees, they are separated expansion, the Jiva Tattva. And all of us, the Jiva Tattvas are meant for serving the Vishnu Tattvas. So although we are expansions and we are part and parcels of the Supreme Lord, we are not equally powerful. Actually, we have only, as we will read in the purport further on, we have got a very minuscule amount of attributes as compared to the Supreme Lord. And so we are simultaneously one and different, and which is a very famous philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Simultaneously one and different. And we know that of all the incarnations, for us, especially in this age, the incarnation of Harinam incarnation is the most important. Because Krishna is incarnated in this name, Namarup, and he has injected it with all of his energies, all of his potencies are in the holy name. So we can actually because sometimes people say, well, in this age, why don't we see Krishna in this age? Well, who is the incarnation for this age, but right now? So it's the Harinam, the holy name, and we can actually go back to Godhead by just chanting the holy name. And not even know much of the philosophy. Just by chanting the holy name, we can actually achieve love of Godhead. So, another word which I came across was the term asamordva. Because Krishna is saying here, or in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is the truth. So Prabhupada says that anyone who claims that he is God, he's a blasphemer. Of course, we say, show us how you think you are God. And over and over again, it says, nobody can be equal to him or greater than him. So this word, asamordva, means, sama means equal, and a, whenever you put a in Sanskrit, they put something, it means not. So not equal, urdva means greater. So this is a name for Lord Krishna, if you could remember. When we are speaking to, you know, people, when we are going out and distributing books or talking to people, Krishna is asamordva. No one is equal to him or greater than him. So, learned scholars, where we are? 64 principal attributes. Can somebody else read? Mother Ekadashi, would you like to read?
All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentages of these attributes. But Sri Krishna is the possessor of the attributes cent per cent, and his personal expansions such as Swayam Prakash and Tadekatma, up to the categories of the avatars who are Vishnu Tattva, possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. Lord Shiva, who is neither avatar nor Avesh, nor in between them, possesses almost 84% of the attributes. But the jivas, or the individual living beings in different statuses of life, possess up to the limit of 78% of the attributes. In the conditioned state of material existence, the living being possesses these attributes in very minute quantity, varying in terms of the pious life of the living being. The most perfect of living beings is Brahma, the supreme administrator of one universe. He possesses 78% of the attributes in full. All other demigods have the same attributes in less quantity, whereas human beings possess the attributes in very minute quantity. The standard of perfection for a human being is to develop the attributes up to 78% in full. The living being can never possess attributes like Shiva, Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. A living being can become godly by developing the 78% transcendental attributes in fullness, but he can never become a god like Shiva, Vishnu, or Krishna. He can become a Brahma in due course. The godly living beings who are residents of the planets in the spiritual sky are eternal associates of God in different spiritual planets called Haridham and Maheshdham. The abode of Lord Krishna above all other spiritual planets is called Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan, and the perfected living being, by developing 78% of the above attributes in fullness, can enter the planet of Krishna Loka after leaving the present material body.
How do you go? 78%, that's the magic number. So right now maybe we have 0.1%, but we can aspire to get to 78%. And it's so nice, Prabhupada, I mean, there's nothing to say to what Prabhupada has just said in this part, in this whole purport actually. So we have to just remember, the Vishnu Tattvas have how much percent? How many percent do the Vishnu Tattvas have?
93%.
Lord Shiva has
84%.
And we can have up to 78%. So we can never, if anybody claims I'm God, we know that they are not, because do we even see 2% of attributes? Do we see 10% of the attributes? We can tell, and so we have our we have our standard. This is our standard. You know, they have the standards for time, standard for weight. The standard for time is somewhere in Switzerland. Standard for weight is in a vacuum sitting somewhere. But this is our standard to know whether somebody is God or not. Do they have 93% of the attributes which have been talked about? And if they don't, definitely they are not the Supreme Personality of God, if they are not Vishnu Tattvas either. So I wanted to, the second part of this verse says all of them, that means all of the planet, all of the incarnations, appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So the very famous verses from the Bhagavad Gita, I was reminded of, chapter 4, which are the two verses that you can think of? The next verse? So whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself in order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium, yuge yuge. And we also have the same term, yuge yuge, in today's verse. Indrari vyakulam lokam nridayanti yuge yuge. Indrari actually is a very unique term. Indra Ari, enemies of Lord Indra. And actually yesterday I was listening to a class by Hridayananda Maharaj in this verse. And he mentioned, so it's like Murari, enemy of Mura demon is Murari, Lord Krishna. So Indrari, enemy of Indra. So when the enemies of Indra are creating disturbance, then the Lord appears. When they are, the enemies of Indra create disturbance, means the devotees are Vyakulam, they are disturbed. And then Krishna appears. And we also hear from Srila Prabhupada that the Lord actually can send many of his agents to kill the demons. So he especially appears to give joy or to appease his devotees who are, you know, being harassed by the demons. And all of the different incarnations are actually appearing to mitigate the anxieties of the devotees who are actually very anxious to see him in his Vrindavan pastime, Srila Prabhupada says. And so the prime purpose of Krishna to appear is to give pleasure, to satisfy his devotees. And another point which I was making. Oh, that, so when we go out, you know, when we go out to spread Krishna consciousness, maybe when we go out today to do Harinam, or on Saturday we're going out for Harinam, most of the people will be inebriated, you know, they'll be drunk from doing the pirate, they're in the pirate mode. And they would say, why are you singing? Why are you wasting your time? Hey, eat, drink, and be merry. Why are you singing the songs? And why are you trying to give us these books? And so Prabhupada says that you, when you go out to distribute books, we also, those people are like our enemies. They maybe directly they will not come and try to kill us, but indirectly maybe they'll call the cops on us. Or actually recently, I was applying for a book table at a vegan festival in Tampa. This was last year. We applied, we got approved, we paid the money and everything. And then maybe 2-3 weeks before the festival, I got an email with a big question mark in the subject. And it says, we hear that, we were notified by someone that ISKCON of Alachua County breeds cows for milk and uses oxen to work on the fields. And this is a vegan festival, mind you. So I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that they are actually having trouble. And somebody told, so you know, enemy, somebody told them. So I wrote to Mother Mukhya, and then we involved Vikarta Prabhu, because you know, his life is protecting cows. So he wrote a very nice response. I added to it saying, we adopt cows, our congregation is adopting cows. So we wrote, he actually said, we have so much compassion, we don't even hurt an ant. So he wrote all that. And you know what we got, the response was, animals are not here for us. They are here with us and should never be exploited. Your organization does not meet our criteria. Boom, they returned the money. In the next email, they had returned our money, and we were not allowed to enter that festival. So there are people who will try to, now protecting cows is something which some people are finding fault with, even though they want to protect animals. But because you are drinking the milk, somehow now you are being categorized as not acceptable. So there's the Kali Yuga is so messed up, right? But at least they are at least not killing animals, so that is a positive. Hmm? Demons, so that we I don't know if we can call them demons, but they're not demigods either, right? They are kind of enemies of the devotees. But there are several other vegan festivals which currently don't know that we have protecting cows, and we are milking one cow here on the farm. And we have two bulls which we are training, and we don't even use, we don't use them for plowing the land yet, I think. So, however, as long as we can, we will keep on trying to, you know, spread and give Krishna consciousness to others and tell them that you are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. You are an expansion, you're part and parcel, and your relationship is currently broken. Please mend that relationship. And by how can you mend it? You give them the holy name, and this will help you go back to God. This will help you re-establish a broken relationship. So we kind of point them towards the path of Sharanagati, which is what we are aspiring for, that Krishna will save me. I will not do anything against devotional service. And as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, cent per cent. If cent per cent our consciousness is to serve Krishna in whatever we are doing, then Krishna is promising that I will protect you. So, you know, like Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father, Mother Devaki was tortured by her brother, and nobody outsider was not torturing. Their own family members were torturing them, but they kept their faith. Like Prahlad Maharaj, so much was done to him, but he kept his faith. And he just kept on praying, chanting his mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Krishna will save us, so we have to have that faith and continue our practice of devotional service. So really, thank you for your kind attention. If anybody has any question, comment, reflections, would be great. Mother Aratmika. I'll read the verse again while she's getting the microphone. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Let's say one more time. Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Yes, Madhara.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada states that Ram and Dhanvantari displayed fame.
Fame.
How does Dhanvantari display fame? What is the story behind that?
I think, you know, Dhanvantari is the one who produces all the medicines, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ayurveda. And I would think that because the Ayurveda is percolating into every aspect of our life, you know, if you want to have health, if you want to live healthy in a Krishna conscious life, or even not in a Krishna life. We see so many people are following Ayurveda and they don't really know or even have any interest in having a Krishna conscious life. So I would think in that manner that Dhanvantari is getting the fame. Prabhuji, would you like to add to that?
No.
Anybody would like to add how Dhanvantari is contributing to the fame? Pran Govinda Puri.
All the medicine originated from Dhanvantari.
All the medicine
came
from Dhanvantari.
His disciple called these two brother of Ashwini Kumars,
mm-hmm.
Ashwini Kumar Dwai, the two brothers. They are the physician of the whole universe, and they are directly empowered by the Dhanvantari. They worship Dhanvantari. In the Western culture, we don't see this directly, but if you go to the Vedic culture, you'll see those medicine men, they have a Dhanvantari deity, they worship, they know this is Vishnu. Very well.
Okay. Dhanvantari. Ashwini Kumaras. Yes, Trivikram Prabhu.
I was of Buddha, but how is it that now, so in one sense I'm thinking the vegans are the ones that help them to stop this animal.
Yes, actually as you were saying that, this point thought came to me also when I was preparing for this class. And yes, the vegans are actually taking it to the other extreme, so much so that don't drink milk, don't do anything, and they're on the other extreme. So in that case, you can see that they are like, you know, Lord Buddha's position. Give up everything, just accept me and don't kill. So yes, actually we went, remember going to one of the vegan festivals in Jacksonville, and I walked around a little bit, because I usually don't, because I'm at the booth most of the time. And at one of the booths, they had these little kind of thingies, like binocular kind of things, but you could watch a little movie. And they were showing, you could watch about cows, you could watch about chickens, or you could watch about something, pigs, I think. So I said, okay, let me look about the cows. I could watch only a part of it. It was so horrendous, the way the cows are treated, the way they actually tie them up, and it's like heartrending. I couldn't finish it. So these people are actually taking this to every vegan festival. So in a way they are doing that service of getting people away. And we know there are many people who are meat eaters, but they will say, okay, meatless Monday. If they are, they'll actually go for it. Okay, I'll not eat at least one day a week. And in India, I know there are people who will say, I'll not eat on Saturday because it is Devi's day, and I'll eat on Tuesday because it's Hanuman's day. So people in India, even if they eat, they have these restrictions and they actually honor them. Tuesday, I'm not going to touch anything. No onion, no garlic, no meat. So those are the people who are kind of, I know, I think after they leave their body, the second they come again and they are getting to be devotees because they have got some restraint in their lives. They are not just unrestrictedly engaging in this activity of killing the cows. And in fact, yesterday some person came, a family came, and we were talking to them, and they somehow it turned out they were here for the first time, but here for the first time and didn't know anything about the philosophy either. And so when they took a book, and then they gave larger donations, so I gave them a cookbook, a Spanish cookbook. And they started asking about animal killing, and they said, so one animal we eat, we have a karmic reaction? And I told them about the hair on the body of the animal and how many births they have to take and suffer. You should have seen the look on that woman. She was like, really? So it was like, she was ready to give up eating all meat altogether. But she had some faith that she will take the shelter of this philosophy. But yes, it is very important for us to tell people about this. Amadara, who was it? Mother.
I just have a
Radhachan.
Could you move that verse down a little bit so I can see what says before that? Right before the end.
What are you trying to see, Linda? While she's looking at anybody else?
I just wanted to see the few sentences before the very end.
Yeah, before the very end. About the attributes? About the percentage of attributes. Okay, you can take the book. You can take the book. Anybody else has any other comment? Would you like to make a question?
I have a question.
Yes, Mother. Radhacharan, you can take the book.
You know, in this fact, Vishnu is 93%. My question was, are all the Vishnu incarnations are 93%, or is it different?
It Prabhupada says that the Vishnu tapas have 93% of the transcendental attributes. And he says, Swayam Prakash, Tadekatma, up to the categories of the avatars, who are all Vishnu Tattvas, possess up to 93%. Up to 93%.
Up to
93%. So it could be between 84 and 93. Thank you. Thank you for catching that. Let her say this mother.
I see it. Thank you.
Prabhu Jagannath Kirtan.
A little information right before that last sentence.
Yes. And I wanted to add that regarding the 100%, Rupa Goswami mentions that it's actually Braja Sri Krishna. There's only four qualities which distinguish him from his other expansions like Dwarka Krishna, Mathura Krishna, or Lord Narayan, not to speak of Lord Ram. But these four qualities are Lila Madhuri, the sweetness of his pastimes, Rupa Madhuri, sweetness of his form, Prema Madhuri, the sweetness of his loving interactions with his devotees, and Vena Madhuri, the sweetness of his food.
Thank you, Jai. Please, thank you. Mother, do you want to say something? Mother Radhicharan?
No,
okay, all right. Thank you very much. Chila Taupat ki jai. Kamrod Bhaktivind ki jai.